episode 50. It is super to reach this milestone for this show. It has been 12 months of hard work getting these amazing guests to sit down with me and discuss their tools, their tips, their strategies, the principles that they live by that got them their results. And us as listeners can grab a hold of those key learnings and apply it to our lives, whether that be in sporting pursuits, in business, or just in life in general. And I am so grateful to be here, to have done 12 months of work putting this together for you guys each week and reach you guys across the globe. We have been downloaded in 39 countries, hit top 40 in the world in our category, and it has just been an amazing journey. And I really want to thank you guys, you pioneer listeners, if you like, across the globe for joining us. This show is only going to get bigger and better for year two and coming years beyond that. And you guys are here, the pioneer listeners. So it's super to have you here. And I really want to thank you so much for listening in each week, for telling your friends about it, for telling your family, you know, really passing on the word on social media and all those good places. It is such a great thing and enjoyable thing for me to do for you guys out there. And I love sitting down here. I love the fact that you guys get to share these experiences with us. And all of us as listeners of the show, including myself, get to really take our own games to the next level by listening to these people and really empowering our greatness. So thank you so much. This episode is about a bit of a reflection back on the 49 previous episodes. I've enlisted my great friend Tyson Popplestone, who's also been a guest on the show a few times, to interview me about this show. So we had a lot of fun sitting back down there at my family's property in Gippsland, Victoria, here in Australia. So we sat back, kicked back over a coffee, and really discussed some of the highs, some of the challenging moments, you know, what went wrong, what went right. We had a lot of things to sort of overcome to get this to you, to get these episodes published, edited, produced, you know, getting these guests, you know, just logistically organized, sit down and make this happen. And, you know, we've done Skype interviews of people in Europe. We've done, you know, episodes all over Melbourne, heap of guests from all over Australia, internationals, you know, athletes, business people, all sorts, as you well know. And there's so many different topics. And I really know that these episodes are going to be like a great archive for you guys to use in years to come, in weeks and months to come as well, obviously, to flick back through and just hopefully answer some of your questions you may have, some give you some great tools to use, and just go through, read the blurbs of those episodes. All that is, all the notes and information is on eliteteamleadership.com.au, my website there, our website that we run, and it really is integral to you guys to jump on there and you'll be able to see some information on all different episodes and guests and find out ones that you want to listen to in the past. But obviously each week we are producing amazing new ones each week. And we are going to do that even better in 2016. So super exciting. Thank you so much for being here. I am not going to let this intro go much longer because I want to get stuck in to our chat and conversation with Tyson interviewing me. So hopefully enjoy this one. Sit back and relax for episode 50 of the JockX podcast.
Are you introducing or
I'm introducing because should I introduce? Well, you'll probably do your introduction like before it's the same, mate.
I'll probably just put this in now. This will be this part. People are sitting there being like, what are these guys talking about?
What are they doing?
Do you ever say this guy thinks he's cool now?
Alright.
Oh, well, here we are, 50 episodes in. I cannot believe that as a close friend of yours that it was nearly 12 months ago that this whole journey got started. I thought before we even get into it, how about you give us a little bit of a rundown on the past 12 months, on the past 50 episodes. Give us a couple of the highs, give us a couple of the lows, and give us a couple of the learnings that you've found throughout the whole journey, because I bet there's been a few of them.
I feel like I need to write those questions down, there's so many.
Start with your favourite.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you, Tyce, for first jumping in here, mate. We'll get to sit down and discuss. You were episode 2 and featured a number of times last year, obviously, with your Everest journey, which was really exciting to follow. And and now you're, you know, doing your own stuff, which is going to be cool, and we're going to discuss that another time. But yeah. 50 episodes, yeah, it's been incredible experience, actually. Probably one of the best sort of decisions I did business-wise,
yeah.
Just in life in general-wise, meeting these people
yeah.
each week, incredible guests, whole yeah. range sort of flicking through in my mind as we speak, and it's been a journey. It's been busy. It's been had its ups and downs,
yes.
and you're always sort of, you know, looking for who's coming on next, and it's been fun, but I think... Honestly, I think we're only just getting started.
Yeah, I feel a real appreciation for what you do, being on this side of the fence, being on this side of the table, asking you the questions. I mean, there has been some incredible guests on the podcast over the past 12 months, only getting better, if I'm honest. The last couple of weeks, some of the names that you've been dropping, I've just been mind-blown. But I guess as a real regular listener to the podcast, it's been amazing, inspiring, walking away with so many really handy little nuggets that I can apply to my own life. But within all the people that you've spoken to, all the nuggets that you've taken away, is there anything that stands out in particular that's really sort of just blown your mind?
Well, each guest sort of brought something pretty special to the table, and that's why they got a seat there.
Yeah.
And got an invitation, which was exciting. Any guest that really blew me away? There's a few guests that I think come to mind. Like, I think Bo Vernon, with his accident in the football, obviously becoming a quadriplegic, still yeah. got to use his arms and so forth, but just his story is incredible, I think, comes to mind. In that sort of same sense, like Heath Black, back in episode
yeah,
he was 16 or 17, he had an incredible story with his, you know, ADHD and, yeah.
And anxiety flying.
Yeah, some interesting, you know, episodes in his life, and he's doing some good things now.
Yeah.
But then you go through the sports stars, Benita Willis, AFL guys. You know, earlier this year we had David Butterfield on.
Yes.
Like, he had some
he was a great
wisdom.
Episode.
I think overall, like, and even just some guests I recorded this week who had some really cool points which yeah. are coming up, guys, which you're definitely going to have to check out. But, yeah, well, so some points, I think... One of the overriding things, we discussed this earlier, which yeah. was, we're probably going to get into, but the point of living on purpose, I think, is one of the key things,
yeah.
and living what you want to do. And I was actually thinking today, it was funny, I was thinking, if you judged, like, if you judged an AFL football on their sporting ability and put them on a horse and said, all right, we're going to judge you on your sporting ability riding a horse.
Yes.
They're going to suck.
That's so true.
They're going to look awful, and you're going to walk away thinking they're the worst sports person you've ever seen, because yeah. they wouldn't have a clue how to ride a horse. 99, 100 yeah. of them. But you put them on a football field with football in hand, and they're the greatest sports people on the planet.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think, you've got to play the game that suits you best. You've got to play to your strengths, because like the episode I just did this week with Barry, we talked about playing to your strengths, because being in a world-class environment, being world-class at what you do, you're probably never going to get there on your weaknesses. Your weaknesses are never going to be world-class, because they're weaknesses to begin with,
that's
right?
That's so true.
So working on your strengths and to become world-class, and for an AFL player to play AFL, that's what you sort of need to do. Or if you're a horse rider, be a horse rider.
Yeah.
It's your strength. And they're going to look like, you know, you're going to be world class and be able to dominate your competition in that way, and be your best self and be your most happiest, because that's what you're good at. You know, 9 times out of 10 is what you really enjoy.
Isn't that true? I was actually thinking a similar thought yesterday. I was thinking about Gary Ablett. So about a month ago, we were up in Sorrento, just having a couple of little coffees, my wife, her brother, his wife. And we saw this bald bloke walking across the street who Sam, my brother-in-law, happened to recognise, Gary Ablett Jr. So we got excited, ran over to him. And I was thinking about that as we walked away. I was thinking about how someone who has actually followed their passion, followed their talent, made a real impact on the sport that he's involved in. It's amazing how inspiring and how encouraging it is to see a bloke like that, and how excited we get to see a bloke like that on the field. I think what I'm trying to say is, I think it's really empowering when someone like yourself and like those that you interview have the courage to be able to step out into their talent, into their passion, into the area of their strength, because I think a lot of us find comfort in numbers. A lot of us find comfort in just following a crowd. So when we see someone that's actually stepping out, following what they're good at, what they're passionate about, it really creates a great platform for us. But what I'd love to know is, because I know that these people, even with their strengths and their talents, they would have some tough days at the office. They would have some days where their talent probably doesn't feel as easy as what it does when they're in their flow. Yeah. And we're 50 episodes in, and I've been amazed at the quality of this podcast, but I also know as a close mate of yours, there's been a few trials along the way. There's been a few challenges, and I would love it because I find it very entertaining and not having to deal with the challenges that you do myself. If you could share a little bit of that with the audience, what are some of the biggest trials that you've experienced in the past 50 weeks that might have caught you by surprise?
What comes to mind, when I was at the Hawthorn Football Club with Gary Bacanara, obviously their recruiting manager there, and they're probably the greatest team that's probably ever been produced, definitely in the modern era, winning the last three in a row, and he was obviously the one that instigated the recruitment of those guys on there. His first draft, just to remind listeners, he picked up, pick two, Jared Rufford, pick five, Buddy Franklin, pick seven, Jordan Laws. First three picks of his job as recruit manager of Hawthorn.
Good start. So, good start. Yeah,
reasonable start. But anyway, long story short, I was at the Hawthorn Footy Club and recording with him, and I realised that my recording equipment was failing. And I was like, this is not good. And luckily, though, I had the backup little iPhone recording the chat.
Yes.
And actually doing a not bad job. Considering what they are, and managed to upload the episode using that recording. So
let me be clear. So you've gone out, you got probably one of the biggest interviews
at the time. For sure.
You've got there. You got your recording equipment, and you've gone to start recording, and it let you down. Is that what you said in your iPhone?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh,
pretty much.
No.
So I was trying to fill around things, and I'm sort of getting all distracted. But yeah, it was that point that I had to use the phone, rely, because I knew I probably wouldn't get the chance to sit down again and do it. So that was one of the early ones. But just getting to, like, I've missed meetings, maybe very cranky at times. I've had, Skype issues when I had to do them via Skype or via the phone, and just a whole range of things. But I think you just roll with the punches and you try and best prepare each time. And really go with it. And I think, I'm no expert when I began, and I think after 50, you're getting stronger as each week goes by. But like I said, I think we're only just getting started.
That's
awesome. We've hit top 40 in the world. We're downloading 39 countries.
That is incredible.
We want to get big, and we are getting big. And some of the guests, I think, reflect that coming up in particular. You're definitely going to have to hang out for this month, some of the episodes, which can be super. Yeah, we're on the path of really achieving something special here.
Yes.
And I think podcasting as a platform is the way to go. I think we're killing the radio.
Yeah.
I think radio can't compete
anymore. Thank God for that, yeah.
Radio with their ads and rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't mind a few ads, but I don't think you need to flood it.
Not that level, no.
I think our stuff's actually useful. Hopefully people can really apply it to their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a bit of fun in between. So I think it's been a fun journey, and it's sort of fun sitting on this side of the podcast now and just chatting about it.
Yeah.
50 in, 12 months of work, and we'll continue.
Oh, those numbers blow my mind, if I'm completely honest. So you've done 50 episodes, and let's be clear, for the listeners out there, there are a lot of podcasts operating all around the globe. There are a lot of people with a lot of content. So to have hit top 40 is no small feat. That's a massive achievement. And as you say, we're only 50 in.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go. How the heck have you helped something like your podcast progress at such a rapid rate that to be 50 in, we're already talking, okay, you've hit top 40 in the world, 39 countries. How the heck have you done that?
Well, I think consistency is one of the key. Getting these guests on each week, that's the format I've gone for. So each week, basically have a new guest basically each weekend.
Yep.
I think that's been really interesting for the listeners, and obviously each guest brings along their own audience as well, which listens in and hopefully joins on as regular listeners to the podcast show. So that's sort of the way we've done it, and we're sort of there's other people out there doing similar stuff, but we're looking at having some fun and taking it out of Melbourne here and really producing something special. Obviously in the States there's some few cool guys that I like following and listening to, we hope to, like, my game is to sort of be consistently hit number one, but be consistently top 10 each week with downloads and with people following in. So that's sort of our aim, and I think at this stage it's definitely gonna be long term. I can't next 2 or 3 years, I can't see, unless some other platform comes out, which I'm not sure at this stage is coming out. I think iTunes is pretty much going to be pretty stronghold on it. So I see this podcast show only developing and getting bigger as time goes on, and I think consistency is going to be key. And yeah, like I said, guests coming each week, which is, you know, I really thank those guys coming on, and girls, super.
Yeah, so you talked to a little bit, or you touched on a couple of times just then, this whole area of consistency, and someone who's, you know, spent a bit of time with you growing up, I know that consistency is one of your biggest strengths. I know consistency is something that you do incredibly well. Two questions. Why do you think consistency is such a big key? And how the heck do you stay consistent when you get a few punches, you get a few knocks?
How do you stay consistent when you get a few punches? Well, that's an interesting, that's a good question. That's a great question. And it's something I would ask a lot of guests too. I'll talk from my own personal experience. I think it's all about the state you're in. So yes, when you get knocked down and you, like I said, I might have missed an episode or done something, you know, got a no and when I wanted a yes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's all about getting yourself in the right state. So by that I mean getting yourself in the right frame of mind to be in a productive frame of mind, to be in a positive frame of mind, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
To get back on ball and get back, taking the next step, rolling down the road. So things you can do is just find things that are going to get you back in the right state. So it might just be going out and putting on that favourite movie that pumps you up. It might be playing the music. It might be watching a little YouTube clip. Yeah. Just those little things that can get you in the right state. To perform, it might be require you to walk around the house shouting, you know, you're great at what you're doing, or just change your state. Don't, and use your physically, like Tony Robbins says, you know what I mean? Stand up straight, don't hang your head down, you know, really use your body to get yourself in the right frame of mind and really, you know, sort of really get yourself pumped up and shoulders back and talking well to yourself and just being aware. And affirmations for me are, again, really important. So it's repeating who I want to be and staying that on a regular basis.
That's awesome.
You know, like sometimes you do have your lulls. Like I've had definitely get lulls. Like any entrepreneur, business person is going to have their ups and downs. So as Bo Vernon said it, as I mentioned, Bo had a good saying, you know, all emotions are okay.
Yeah.
Don't have to be 100% happy all the time.
Yeah.
And all emotions are okay. So just understand that it's just sometimes a reflection of where you're at the particular point, and then it's going to pass. It's a bit like laying on with your back on the grass and looking up the sky and watching the clouds go by. You know what I mean? Like some clouds are going to be dark and grey, some clouds are going to be nice and white and fluffy, and they're going to roll on by.
Yeah, and isn't that true? That's actually
you just sort of get that, and I think once you understand that, once you're okay with having, it's a bit like, I just interviewed a cool guy. I won't mention his name yet, but it's going to come out, which is going to be pretty exciting. And he mentioned, like, before he started his entrepreneurship company, you know, companies, he was very well aware that he potentially could, you know, there's going to be a lot of knocks, there's going to be a lot of no's, and there's going to be a lot of failures in the early days. And but he, when he began, once he knew that, he was okay with that. Mm. He was okay with the no's and the failures and the you can't do these type of situations. And when, once you're okay with it, like once you're okay, you got your mindset, the fact that, hey, you're going to get knocked down. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be hard. Hey, you're going to go weeks where, for like a podcast, I can't find a guest or something. And you're thinking, oh, no, who am I going to get next?
Yeah.
Or if you're, you know, getting the next client to join you, or the next speaking engagement, or the next one-on-one conversation with an athlete or a corporate executive or whatever it is. You know, it's, you're going to get those no's. And once you're okay with that and understand that you can continue on, and you're going to, you're only one phone call from a happy face. You're one email away from someone going, yep, we'll jump on board for that team session. We'll want you to come work with our guys. We want you to speak here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's at. And when you remember that, and as you know, in our game, you don't need a huge amount of people to do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, you only need a few gigs here and there in your way. So.
Yeah. I think you've touched on a really, really powerful point. In the area of consistency. I know for myself that one thing, if there was going to be one thing that really limited my ability to get back up day after day and keep on having a crack, it'd probably be the emotional state that I'm in. And I think I listened a couple of times to that Bo Vernon podcast you did. I think it was one of the most empowering podcasts I ever heard. He's a guy who, you know, had an awesome life, a fit young kid, playing a game he loved, won, not get knocked down. To hear him now as a quadriplegic, a little bit of movement back in his hands, is that right? To talk to you about the fact that all emotions are okay. When you hear that come from a bloke like him, I mean, it really just hits home, because he's a bloke that would have dealt with a whole heap of different emotions. And I remember I was emotional to listen to his podcast, because it really, really, it's fine for me to get up here and you to get up here and talk about, hey, you take a couple of hard knocks, but let's change it. So this guy's taken one hard knock, which has changed the course of his life.
Yeah.
And he's getting back up and saying, no, but it's still okay.
I saw a cool post of his the other day, and he's just talking about being grateful for, you know, just being born in Australia for starters. Like, I know there's global listeners around, but for my travels, I feel like Australia is my favourite country in the world. Yeah. I think we're so blessed to be here. Straight away, off the bat, born. He's got a great family. He's got a great wife. He's so lucky to be able to have kids. He just had his first child. Like, and when you come with that attitude, and it's actually funny, my old man last night, I was speaking to him, and he was talking about, you know, each day saying to yourself, he said to me, James, I want you to start a conference one day with this line. I want you to say, aren't we so lucky? And it's funny, because we don't usually talk about those sorts of things when I speak about with my dad, but it was cool. And I think, and I mentioned to him that every day I talk about gratitude, and I say what I'm grateful for to myself each day, and whether it be my health, what am I, coaching business, my podcast, my friends, my family, where I get to live in Torquay by the coast, and all sorts of things, you know, Australia and all these type of things and experiences we get to do. And I think gratitude is a great place to come from. I think
that's so
great
true.
Things like, it's even interesting, you watch those really famous people, like the actors, the Leonardos, the George Clooney's, even those type of people. A lot of that, I love it when they interview them and they just go, oh, I'm so lucky with what I've got. And I think that's really cool. And yes, they are lucky. Yes, they make movies. But it makes you think, like, they probably wouldn't have got there if they didn't think they were lucky. Like, they don't think they're hard done. But they get their knockbacks. Don't you worry. They have pretty challenging times and different aspects that 99% of us will never experience. But I just love that. Like, even they, and you look at their level of fame and success to an extent, you know, they're... what they're doing, I guess, you know, they come from a place of gratitude, many of them as well. Yeah. And I think it's a great place to begin with.
What is it that inspires you so much about coming from a place of gratitude? Because you're right, these guys have taken some real hard knocks and they've had a couple of real big breakthroughs as well. What is it that you love about gratitude?
Well, gratitude's so important, because if you're not grateful for what you have, nothing will ever be enough.
That's such a good point.
And there is no finish line in terms of what you can have.
Yeah.
And how much money you could have. And how many friends you can have. And how many holidays you can go on. And how many cars you can have. There's no limit to how many you can do. So if you're not grateful for what you have, whether it be one friend, whether it be 100, whether it be one car, whether it be none, whether it be 25 stacked up, whatever it is, or how many houses you have, or how many dollars in the bank account. If you're not grateful for what you actually have, I think you'll constantly find yourself unsatisfied and unhappy. It doesn't mean you're not going to progress by being grateful. It doesn't mean you're not going to progress in your finances, progress with your business, progress with your podcast, whatever it is. But you'll do it from a place, when you do it with gratitude, you'll do it from a place of contentment and a lot more big fat smiles on your face.
Yeah,
I think that's where a lot of us want to be.
I've got no doubt that a lot of your listeners right now would be going through stuff in their own life where, because we all do. That's why I say that. We all go through our own issues. We all go through our own struggles. And I know a lot of times in my own life, I've sort of caught myself, not on purpose, but just in a state where I'm not really grateful for where I'm at, or not really having any clarity of vision on what it is that I'm actually trying to attain. And I know in my own walk that whenever I don't have clarity on what it is that I'm trying to achieve, that gratitude never really comes. So, really interested to hear from someone like yourself who does a lot of work coaching a lot of people on the way that you would guide someone to figure out how they can find gratitude in their life if they feel they're really struggling with that at the moment.
Yeah. Well, my practice is, my practice is every morning I go for a run, I do some exercise, and for about 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes during that exercise, I stop. My process now is to sort of say, first, three things I'm proud or love about myself, mm-hmm. what I've done recently, what I'm doing, who I am, those type of things.
Yeah.
That's another concept. But the next thing is three things I'm grateful for. So I actually literally say three things I'm grateful for.
Out loud, you say it.
And they can be smaller things. I'm grateful for the weather. Yeah. Not raining this morning, or it's not windy, or it's warm and nice and those things. So it doesn't have to be big, but you know, it might be family, it might be my health, it might be business, it might be relationships or whatever it's going to be. Yeah. So definitely I do it each day pretty much.
That's awesome. And you say these things out loud.
I say them in my head.
Okay.
But looking over the ocean or wherever I am at the point, or just a nice quiet place by myself, and say those, and then I sort of think of the people I'm helping, and then I also visualize where I want to be in 6 months, 12 months from now. And I think those practices, having that routine of doing that and getting that done, and I think constantly, if you can say yourself, like my old man said, if you can say yourself, you know, how lucky you are, what you're doing, I think it's just such a good place to come from. And I don't know about listeners out there, but you think about it, like, I love hanging around people who are grateful for what they have, and they're not miserable and complaining. And, you know, complaining's probably, you won't be hanging around me much if you complain, because I don't enjoy hanging around people like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm firm on who I hang around with, like, because I think it's who you surround yourself with is so important. And, so there you go, you guys. If you want to hang out with me, don't be a complainer. Because, I think being grateful for what you've got is so important. And some of those really people you look up to are just really, you know, exemplify that.
That's so true. I mean, I've seen a lot of the people that you spend time with, and I also know that people walking away from a conversation or a day or a coffee or whatever it is with you always leave with a real respect for what it is that you're doing, and your outlook on life, and I've experienced it for myself. But it's cool, as your best mate, to be able to see other people hang around you and leave lifted up, built up, feeling a little more uplifted about life. There's no doubt, I think, even if they come to you as a complainer, they leave a little bit less of a complainer. But I love what you were saying before about the gratefulness thing that you do each morning. I think it's really, really powerful. I think stopping and appreciating something as small as the weather is powerful. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I know for myself, if I ever want to just ground myself a little more, I get out in nature and appreciate something simple, something that we'll walk past without ever really looking at.
Yeah, well, we're sitting out here now, actually, looking out over the nice sort of green, luscious paddocks, if you like, down here in Gippsland. And it is, like, when you can sort of appreciate those things, I think it's really nice. And, yeah, like, you and me sort of come from a similar background in terms of, we don't need a lot in our lives to make ourselves happy. You know what I mean? We don't need a lot of things. Like, we love our running, we love our exercise, we love our surfing, we love our coffees.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need bus loads and truck loads of gear and stuff to keep us excited. And I think, you know, like, once you sort of just, you know, take in those small things, you know, it's pretty special. So
what are you grateful for at the moment? Did you do that exercise this morning or sometime this week? What are the three things that you're grateful for at the moment?
Oh, at the moment, I'm probably grateful for doing this 50th episode. That's pretty exciting.
Massive.
We'll celebrate that this week. And then obviously my health, just be able to go for a run. And, you know, probably my family being all in pretty good order, which is key for me. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's probably what we're sort of, you know, really some of the main things today. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And it's an important aspect, I think, to adopt a part of your
life. Totally agree. So one thing that I really want to touch on, because it excites me to hear you say that we're 50 episodes in, but it's only going to get bigger, it's only going to go longer. Where do you see this thing going, and what is it about it that you think is so valuable to your listeners? Because as a listener, I could tell you all the things that are valuable, but what inspires you to keep it going?
Well, it's sort of like me getting sick of watching rubbish TV and rubbish radio and going, I want to have something that people can walk away with that's going to actually impact their own lives.
Yep.
So that's what my questions are all about, so people can really take away some cool things.
Yeah.
And take their own sporting game, their own business game, just life in general, to the next level in empowering your greatness.
Yeah.
So that's what really got me going, and I set out to do 50. Like this time last year, we were sitting down in the cafe talking about it, and I said, I'm going to do 50 in 50 weeks or so, and see where that takes me. And then maybe stop at 50, but I realized after probably 20 or 30 that I wasn't going to be stopping at 50.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're going to start this next 12 months and really consolidate, really consistently pump out these great episodes each week and material for guys across the globe, whether you're in Europe, America, obviously here in Australia, New Zealand, you know, through Asia, Middle East, and even through parts of Africa, we having listeners coming all over. So, you know, I want to share this journey with those guys. And, you know, I'm 28. I like to think we're still relatively young. I think we're always young. And you and me definitely aren't the type of guys who, you know, are searching for 65 to retire. Like, that's not us.
Nah.
It's a whole other topic, I guess. But, you know, we, you know, coming over these coming years, we want to grow. Who knows where this might go? You know, there's a lot of opportunity, whether we could, there's, you know, a lot of ways we could do this podcast, whether it be even live, even with audiences, or going down different avenues, whether, you know, traveling with it, a lot of things we could do. So, but with the, you know, it's our good friend Rich Roll would say, it's a crazy time. You know what I mean? You can download this wherever you are in the globe and sit and listen to your car listeners right now. And just while we're on, I wanna thank you guys in your car right now and listen to this. It's without the listeners, it really probably wouldn't be something we would continue to do. So otherwise it'd just be me talking to some cool people, which is awesome. But I think it wouldn't have done 50 in a row if we didn't have, you know, listeners across the globe going in, and we're looking to impact, you know, into the millions. That's where we want to get to. So, you know, there's 6 billion people on planet. I'm sure there's a few million that could learn from the guests that we have on each week, which is cool.
No, well, as a listener, I've got absolutely no doubt that there's a lot of people, including myself, who can take away a whole heap of really valuable, life-changing lessons. So I'm excited for the future. I mean, as you said, we're only 50 in. It's going to be cool to see where you take it from here. I can't wait to hear some of the guests that you've got coming up. But as we've touched on, as we've sort of just emphasized, 50 episodes in, your audience understands that James O'Connor is a hard worker. He loves his job. He's passionate about what he does. But what I would love to hear a little more about is, what the heck do you get up to in your downtime? What do you do when you're not putting together these podcasts, when you're not coaching, when you're not presenting? What does James O'Connor do when he doesn't have to do anything?
Well, I, as people probably know close to me, I've definitely moved down the coast in the last couple of months. Yep. So definitely getting my surf on. I'm still a bit of a novice, but I have surfed over the years, but not consistently. And consistency is key, guys. So it's about getting out there, and we're getting better. And we're hoping they've got the surf comp down there at the moment with Bell's Beach, which has got sort of Kelly Slater and Mick Fanning and all the guys there. So, you know, we're not going to get to that level, but we want to.
Don't speak too soon.
Who knows? But I enjoy surfing. I love going for coffees.
Beautiful.
Talking with people, and I love obviously exercise, running, and then you know, sports, and that's probably some of the key things I do. I love watching movies. I enjoy relaxing, and I think relaxing is almost a skill in a way sometimes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I seem to be reasonable at it. But yeah, it's a constant thing for me. Like, I'm so passionate about what I do. That's always close to my mind, and enjoying that. And I think, yeah, you got to enjoy sort of still being in your 20s in a way too. I think that's something cool. Enjoy about where you are now. And something I do, you know, really want to touch on now in this conversation too is sort of the importance of living on in your day, because, you know, it really is the only thing that you have. Like, you can think about the future as much as like, it's not going to happen. Only the now is happening now.
Yeah, isn't that true?
And the past is, it's gone. It's see you later. And you can think about that however you like. You've got the power to decide what that meant to you, what that means to you going forward, what that means to you in this particular moment.
Yeah.
And once you understand that, once you understand that what you're doing right now, so again, if you're sitting in your car, sitting in the gym, doing the dishes right now, listening to this or whatever it is, this is the only thing that really matters, is what you are doing right now. It's the only thing that is.
Yeah. That's so true.
And if you want to get more into it, I think Eckhart Tolle is your man. He is the guy who really sort of got that in the forefront of mind a couple of years back. But it really is the only thing. So if you can really look at each day, and tomorrow is so not guaranteed. We're actually going on a little trip this weekend with a few friends, and we're going camping down the river there, and you don't know what's going to happen on that trip. Like, anything could go wrong on that trip, and it's game over or big changes in your life. And I think it's a big gamble to put things off when they can happen now, because you don't know what age. And like you were just discussing earlier about, you know, close family friend of yours, your family's, and like you mentioned, their time is coming up to a, you know, has came up, finished up, and 6 months ago you would not have even dreamt that was a thing. And it's such a heartbreaking thing, but it's just, for me, every time I hear that, it just solidifies in my mind that if your day is today, your last day, I think in that final second when you realize it's your last day or last moments, and you're living in alignment of yourself and alignment of your purpose and living out who you want to be, doing what you want to do and following your passions and having the courage to follow that, I think you'll be able to move on from this world with a smile on your face, I think, and the knowledge that you have had a crack, have done what you want to do. And I think that's so important, because if you don't do that, if you don't live out who you want to be, if you don't have the guts to go for it, then I think you will rest in your graveyard not as easily as you should be.
What keys would you offer someone? Because I meet a lot of people who I don't think realize they have the potential to step out in their field of expertise, or the field that they'd like to develop expertise in, the field of their passion. They've got their gifts, they just don't know where to go from there. What keys would you offer to someone who's in a place right now where they're not overly excited about the job that they're in, the lifestyle that they're living, but they've got an idea of where they would like to go, but maybe not the courage to step out into it?
Yeah, well, there's a few things that come to mind when you discuss that topic, and that's a real beginning place to be. Like, that's a very grassroots type situation to be. Mm-hmm. So to begin from there, I personally, I've done a lot of work, and I work with people on this too, on a lot of work of their own self-belief, their own self-development. That's where it starts. Yeah. Like, if you can't see it for yourself, if you can't, you know, look after yourself to an extent, you know, things aren't, you're not going to help other people. And if you can't help other people, you really can't usually get what you want in a way. And so what I mean by that, if you're in that place, like where you're lacking self-belief, you're lacking the courage, you're lacking the strength to go out there and chase your things and even just start your things, then you really start to need to work on yourself. And by that, I mean, you know, you can really get involved in a few courses and a few things on self-development and working on your personal belief and things like affirmations, things like your daily routines, and really start to work on those and making them more productive. It's key, because you've got to have extreme belief in yourself, extreme courage, extreme, you know, love for what you do and love for others, and some really empowering nature to make things happen, whether it be business, so whether it be chasing, if you want to be a violinist or whatever it is. And it doesn't happen overnight either. Like, our generation particularly wants this now moment. Like, it starts today, but you might not even get to part time, like commercial wise, for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So you've just got to start and realize it's a long process. And in a business world, like, you know, for me, it took a few years before I could step away from a full-time role. And I was working quite solidly. In some people's eyes, quite hard. So I think I think it's just a beginning point, but you got to work on yourself first. And mm-hmm. I think you've got to believe in you, and you've got to be proud of who you are and what you can bring to the table, and then become aware of what you're good at. I know it's a long-winded answer,
there's so much good stuff in
it. But from that point of just that early thinking about it, like that's, you got to understand, that's a long way from doing it.
Yes.
There's a fair gap there.
Yeah.
And doing it in the sense of where you probably want it to be in terms of maybe doing, following your passion to a commercial extent to the point where you can live off it. So there's a fair bit to go on the bridge. And what I really get up and ante about, I get very antsy, I guess, about people think it can be done quick. And there's a lot of people out there who'll sell you a thing, it's going to be done in 6 months, and you'll be rich in 3 months, and you're going to have this and that. Like, just chill out and realize that it's going to be a fair journey. Like, and you've got to expect that people are selling things.
That's really good.
Selling
advice.
Things because they're preying on you want to do something shortcut and some fast things. So, like, you look at any elite performer, they've been doing it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the best basketballs on the planet. They've been playing since they're 5 years old, younger. Like, so by the time they're 30, they've done 25 years of work.
Mm.
If you're thinking of being a violinist now, come back to me in 25 years of full-on practice nearly every day of your life, and let's see where you're at.
I reckon that is just super, super powerful advice, because I think, as you said, there's a lot of businesses out there right now that are happy to sell you the quick fix option.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if it's just our generation, but it seems to be, with the world at our fingertips, literally through our iPhone, with absolutely no need to be bored for any moment. We can do what we want as quick as we want. We really think that that same thing applies to the way that we operate in our lives. And I think one of the most empowering things, and is a testament to the way that you run your business, is this idea of just being in it for the long haul. Because there's no such thing as a quick fix in exercise.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a quick fix in diet. There's no such thing as a quick fix in planning what it is that you actually want to do. And I think to have people like yourself sharing that message that it's going to be okay, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
But just enjoy the journey. The highs and the lows is a super, super empowering message. Now, I know that it had taken a little while for you to get yourself prepped up and set up like it does for absolutely anyone. But right now, you're in a position where you've stepped out, as you've just mentioned, at a full-time work. You're doing your own thing.
Mm.
How does it feel to be in a position now? You don't have to answer to anyone. Yeah, sure, there's still some challenges and there's still some struggles that we're going to have to go through, but you're in a position now where you're your own boss, you set your own path. Explain what the light at the end of that tunnel that you're starting to reach looks like, because a lot of people dream of being where it is that you're at right now.
Well, yeah, it is. It's interesting. For me, this is my journey. So I've always wanted, as you very well know, wanted to run my own show, to do be in charge of my own destiny. And one of my key core values is empowering. So I want to be empowered myself to not rely on other people for my results all the time. But same time, like, I think it's so important for people to realize that if corporate world for you, for instance, and being a marketing manager for them, or being an operations manager, or just a key accountant or something within an organization, if that's what really gets you going and that's who you want to be and that's your purpose, then that's perfect.
Go for it.
That's perfect. Yeah. That doesn't mean, just because I'm running my own thing doesn't mean that's for everyone else. Definitely doesn't mean. And I think, again, today, another thing, everyone's been sold on like this glamorous entrepreneurial life that it's so sexy and so amazing, but like it's definitely not sexy and amazing. It's not all high flying businesses and lunches and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of hard work, and I think a lot of people get sold on the fact that they can be an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
and a lot of people can, but again, it's a bit like the old AFL footballer playing, you know, riding a horse in a horse competition.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're going to be stronger in other areas, and sometimes being an entrepreneur is not your thing. Like, you got to remember, there's a lot of skills that goes into that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of skill, a skill set that's very wide.
Yeah.
Very wide, in terms of, you've got to be able to do the paperwork. You've got to be able to do your coaching, in my case. You've got to be able to do a podcast. You've got to be able to do the websites. You've got to be able to do the graphics. You've got to be able to do, like, you can outsource some of these things, but you got to remember too, you got budgets and that to deal with as well. You got to be good at accounting. You got to be good at sales. You got to be good at marketing. You got all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have those strengths across the board. And you can hire in that, but I think entrepreneurship's not for everyone. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And that's reflected in the fact that 90% of, I don't know what the stats that is, but 90% of businesses fail within the first 3 years of whatever it is. So there's a, probably a stat to back my saying up. So what I'm saying there is, if being an employee, or you know, that could definitely be your thing.
Mm.
Definitely. But if you want to step out, like, there's definitely opportunity. And today, on the flip side, today is probably the best opportunity in history to do, be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like with the platform, social media, the internet, there's no better time in history to be an entrepreneur than right now. I believe that. I totally believe that. Like back in the day, it would have been so much difficulter, more difficult.
Yeah.
Than difficult as a word.
That's all right. We've got coffees coming soon.
So I think now is probably the best time in history, the world's history.
Yeah.
In the 10,000, 100,000, whatever it is, which humans have been on this planet. I don't think there's a better time in history to be an entrepreneur.
Mm, that's a big call. That's a big call. That's a true call. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think just purely the internet. I think the access that you have and the minimal cost that core requires to start businesses from the internet.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can reach a global audience from the touch of buttons.
Isn't that true?
It's crazy. Like the corner store here in a local town, that's not going to reach the bloke in the middle of Africa, is he?
No.
But if the guy in the middle of Africa, if he has internet access, which in a lot of cases he won't, but... if he does, he can reach you. Or probably a better example would be the States. You've got 250 million people there.
Yes.
A high majority of them have got internet access.
Yeah.
And they can buy your widget or whatever you're selling from wherever you are.
I think one guy that really exemplifies everything that we're speaking about right now, hard work, consistency, global outreach, just being on the grind, you know him. In case the listeners haven't heard of him, check out a bloke on YouTube who I'm so into right now. His name's Casey Neistat. I know you know him. James, he's just released his 364th vlog, a video blog in a row. And this guy, I've really, really got into him because of the fact that I just respect his work ethic. I respect his ability to be able to handle all the things in his life. But this guy is just, he's grown up in a school environment where the teachers have told him you never make any money from film. It's a good side hobby. But he just didn't believe it, and he didn't really buy into what it was that they were teaching him. So as he grew up, he lived in Connecticut in the USA, age 19, with no money. He moved to New York. Sounds like a Hollywood story. It basically is. About a week after he got there, the planes hit September 11, and he realized, as we've been speaking about, that this whole journey is temporary. So why not have a crack at what it is that we're going to do? And over the past year, I've followed him closely, not only his stuff, but the interviews that he's been a part of as well. And this guy absolutely turns up the volume when it comes to chasing your passions, when it comes to not necessarily listening to all the advice that you get, but choosing wisely. How would you encourage someone to find what it is? So Casey Neistat's whole thing is his film. And he's discovered it just through a pure love. But sometimes some people have a love for a whole heap of stuff.
Yep.
How would you encourage them to be able to pinpoint and really magnify what it is that their greatest skill is and step out into that field?
In terms of greatest skill, just start off with things that... like, what are things that you do easily that people find difficult?
Great. That's a great point.
Like, what do you just, what do you do in your life? Like, it might be folding clothes. It might be doing paperwork. It might be speaking in front of people. What do you just find so easy that you don't think too much of, and yet other people really struggle with it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it might be whatever it is. Like, that's a great place to start. Like, what do you find easy?
That's a great point.
Is some of your strong skill sets. And obviously, everything can be developed. So keep that in mind, that you can really improve from where you are now. Great. And you might be surprised... you might be just a few tactical maneuvers away from being great at something.
Ooh.
So you might have a flaw in what you're doing. Like, if you're, you know, if you, you could be, or go back to, you could be a great footballer, but you just, your ball drop as you drops out of your hands onto your foot to kick, it might be just something silly. It might be dropping way too high, and then you end up spraying every kick. But if you're a little bit of, you know, a little bit of adjustment, and you could be hitting up targets a lot better. So yeah. In that case, you could be, you know, you could be close, but just in terms, probably for what you're strong at, it's probably what you find easy. It's probably
a great point,
a place to start.
Yeah.
And then sort of following your passions, like, and following what gets you going, and well, you got to find your outcome. So if you're looking forward in terms of making a commercially viable business out of what you're doing, you probably need to really do some research on what's out there, and if anyone else is doing something similar to what you want to do, for starters. Probably if they're not, no one's doing what you want to do. It's kind of funny, I think. A lot of businesses think you should go into something no one's done yet. But if no one's doing it, there's probably a reason for that, in a way too.
Yeah.
And I mean by that, like, if there's no one doing what you want to do, then there's a good chance that there's no commercial viability in that.
Yeah.
And the fact... And it might be, you might have found that one little spot that no one's thought of, but there's a good chance that you haven't.
Yeah.
Like, so I get excited probably more so when there's a lot of people doing something, in a way, because there's obviously a lot of people having success in that area.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. And I think, like, I was brought up the other way around. I was thinking, I'd find something no one's done before. But, yeah, you look at Richard Branson, he doesn't really start anything new.
Isn't that true?
He just does something better or a bit slightly different, but that's really working well for other people, whether it be the record industry, whether it be airlines, whether it be a whole heap of other stuff he does. Yeah. So,
that's a really good
point. That's something to think about. So, yeah, find out your outcomes, what you're trying to do. If you just want a hobby, then be like me, surfing is my hobby.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any money from it, ever. No. I don't want to. And I'm going to have fun doing it, and I'm going to do it regularly. So, that's a passion of mine, so I do that. So, yeah, I think... Find out what your outcome is, whether you want it to be a hobby or commercially viable.
That's a great answer.
And if it's commercially viable, you've got a lot of research and things to do ahead, and
yeah.
a lot of working out and whether you can do it or not. So that's a whole different conversation.
That's a great point. I just want to rewind that answer to a particular point, because I'm not 100% sure if we've spoken about him in your podcast before, but there's one guy, he's a travel writer. His name is Jedediah Jenkins on Instagram. Great photos, great thoughts. His writing is absolutely amazing. But one thing that he says when he's speaking about following your passion, he goes, usually, so he says what you said. He goes, usually it's the thing you find easy that other people find difficult. And he goes, it's the thing that loves you back. So he goes, by that, he means that when you do it, not only is it easy, but people find value in it. And people will get back to you from time to time to say, man, really appreciate it. Because you can find a lot of confidence that what you're doing is the right field when people start to love you back. Because you know, especially as a guy who wants to influence so many people, that you're reaching those people once they start to thank you. And I know for myself, I've got so much value from what it is that he's doing. And him and Casey Neistat are two people I'm probably personally getting a whole heap of value from in my walk at the moment. But I'm really interested to hear a little bit about what's adding value to James O'Connor's life at the moment. Is there anything that you think's worth mentioning that your listeners might be interested in getting involved in?
Well, there's a lot of things, actually, and I'm constantly searching for things and adding things to my own game, my own routines, my own habits to take myself to the next level. One of the things I do... recently, last couple of months, is I've got really heavily into yoga, which funnily enough, you introduced me to. I've obviously always known about it, but I've really enjoyed it. As listeners know, I do meditation each day, basically, and I do that still, but yoga is really good too. I think just, it's a really good way of sort of centering yourself again, and it's like a bit like meditation with movement.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, and I think for a guy like me who's not very flexible either, like I'm very quite stiff, and I think it overall health wise, I definitely feel improvement. Mindset wise, I feel an improvement, and I'm just doing an app for folks. You can probably jump on board. It's called Yoga Studio.
Yeah,
it's just an app. It's $6 Australian, yeah. I think it was, and one off payment, and away you go. And you look at yoga classes, and I think, what, $20, $30
Well, I stopped going. I was going to a yoga class every week. And
so it's $100 a month. This thing's $6, and I think
you get just as much value from
it. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm honestly actually never done a class, yeah. So I can't say much about that. But I just think, in terms of like value for money, it's just a way. And I can do it any time I want, and it's very, I can do it in my room or in my I usually go on the beach in the morning and do it as the sun rises, but. Yeah, yoga's probably one of the things recently, just the first cab off the rank. But, like meditation, exercising each day, just constantly reading and getting some new people and new podcasts. And it's a constant thing and just a constant improvement.
Like, yeah, I think that's really
constantly
cool.
Constantly getting better is the key.
One thing, actually, you could explain this to me a little bit more while we're at it. You mentioned to me yesterday when we were having a chat that you've been listening to the audiobooks or Audible. As you drive, I'm not on Audible at the moment, but I know a lot of people don't find the time to be able to sit down and read a book, or they might not enjoy the process of reading it. Audible sounds like it could be a really helpful tool for them to. Do you want to explain that a bit, the benefit you've got out of that? Actually, what book have you got playing on there at the moment?
Yeah, well, it's actually something I've sort of... It's been around for ages, audible.com. Yeah. But you can literally subscribe to that, and it's like $15 or so a month. That's and cool. You get a book a month. And like for me, like I don't read hard copy books. I'm very slow reading hard copy books. I like doing it, but I'm very slow. I just don't pencil in the time to do that. So I spend a lot of time in my car. So I can pump out a book in a car in a week easily. Maybe 8 to 10 hours worth of listening in a car, and bang, I've got a book done. If I read it by hard copy, I'm usually probably 2 months. No joke, I'm really slow.
Yeah.
I read like 10 pages a day.
Yeah.
So for me, it makes sense. Other people are a lot different. I'm sure they read a lot faster. But you play to your strengths. Like my strength is listening, and I can listen to a couple of times in the car way faster than I can ever read a book. So, yeah. I would recommend jumping on. $15 a month, you get a book each month, and basically any book you can think of, usually in Audible. And the book I'm reading at the moment is it's one I got recommended by a guest on Tim Ferriss's show, but it was it's called Speak Like Churchill, Stand Like Lincoln, and it's all about just speaking and presenting, and obviously right down my alley. But I think it's a good one for a lot of people. Whether you're a corporate world or whatever it is, it's a good one to get a hold of and improve your speaking, presenting, and leadership abilities.
Yeah, well, we've only got a couple of minutes left before we wrap this thing up, but 50 episodes in, 12 months in, where do you see this whole thing going over the next couple of years? What excites James O'Connor about the path before him?
Well, I'm excited for each guest. I think every guest I get on, I have to be excited about them for them to come on the show.
Yeah,
that's one of my key criteria. So I'm excited for the guests and meeting these people and sharing their stories with all the folks around the world. That's probably one of the really key things I'm excited for. And I think there's a few ways. At this stage, we're going to stay with what we're doing. Once a week, we'll be pumping out an episode each week. And we'll continue to develop that. And we'll see how we go in the next sort of 12 months, but we might add some things in, whether we do live events or whether we do live recordings with an audience, or whether we travel across season and meet some people overseas, record with them.
Yeah.
Definitely send me an email if you want to see something, or let me know.
Yeah.
Hit me up and say, what would you like? Whether you like a live recording where you can sit in the audience and listen to some guests, or whether we might do a little tour of different cities and stuff. So
yeah. Where can they find the details to get in touch with you there?
Jump on the website, eliteteamleadership.com.au. It's a contact page, and just shoot me through an email through there. Probably the best way, or social media, Elite Team Leadership. Whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. So jump on there. Actually, LinkedIn, it's just James O'Connor. But that's what I would be looking into. But we've got a lot of other, obviously, client stuff we'll be working with over the coming months. So we'll see how that progresses as well.
Well, just before we wrap this thing up, is there anything that you'd like to leave the audience with to take away for their week?
Yeah, start developing yourself, and just realize it's a daily process, and start making that a habit of developing yourself and getting more in alignment with who you are and who you want to be, and living that out, and really start to, dream out loud, as Jack Delosa would say, and really start to make things happen, and just progress and give it time. Like, we're not talking months, we're talking years, we're talking decades. That's what we're talking. We're talking lifetimes.
Yeah.
And start to have a think about your life, and start to think about the end result. What do you want when your people are reading your eulogy, at your gravesite? Yeah. What do you want them to say?
Yeah.
And that's what you need to think about. So we have, And we're not here for infinite amount of time. We're here for a certain small percentage in terms of time, in terms of history. So just think about what you want to do and what you want to achieve and what you want to leave behind and what you want people to remember you for.
Yeah. Well, James O'Connor, super exciting that you are, you're just on the grind. Yeah, more than on the grind. You're adding so much value to people's lives. We're only 50 episodes in. I can't wait to see what this thing looks like in a couple of years' time. I'm so excited. There's people like you chasing your passion, stepping out into your strengths, and just really investing into the lives of so many people all around the world, because there's absolutely no doubt that a lot of people really need it. So the risk of hijacking your show. Listeners, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.
Cheers.
So there you have it, folks. Episode 50. That's a half century raise the bat sort of moment for this show. And really, again, guys, hope you loved that episode. Hope you got a lot out of it. Hope you've loved the first 50, and definitely go back and check a few of them out and a few of the ones that really interest you and will help you with your sporting game or business game or just life in general. So thank you so much for listening in. Absolutely so grateful that you're here across the globe listening in. It is super, and I'm really looking forward to year two and making this show even bigger and better for you guys out there to get more for your game to empower your greatness. So thank you. To help celebrate the show, guys, it'd really be great if you jump on iTunes for a couple minutes, give us a 5-star rating. That really helps us out. That helps me get in bigger and better guests. So please do that. That'd be super. And that would really let me know that you're showing support for the show. That is a best way you can do it. Also, show notes for this will be on eliteteamleadership.com.au. Jump on there, check out show notes and links to different things we discuss. And there's a lot of stuff there to help you guys improve as well. And overall, guys, I want to thank again everyone listening across the globe. I really hope you are pursuing your dreams today and really chasing after them. No matter how small the step is, keep taking them and really enjoy the whole process of achieving your goals and dreams and living them out and being the best version of yourself. So enjoy your week. I've got some huge guests coming up over the next few. They're already recorded, ready to rock and roll. So you're going to love them. Have a massive week. Get stuck in, and we'll speak to you soon.